Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor and the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on our favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, turn the notifications on. We got a lot of Dolphins content on the YouTube channel constantly, so make sure you get through there to get all of it. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. Avoid Twitter, X, the political talk, and all that. Just talk Heat in the NBA. You can do that on Discord with us, with other Heat fans, all day, all night long. Check out the host updates, the main thing chat, fantasy gambling chat. We got everything on there. So check it out. Off the Floor. Link is right here in the description. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Includes Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN. You get $20 to play right away. What makes this different? There's no VIG. That means you're not paying the house for nothing. And also, you can find the line that you want because it's a social betting marketplace. So just check it out, betteredge.com. Enter the code 5RSN. They give you $20 and start looking in the marketplace for your plays today. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne.
Yikes.
Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and Five Reasons Sports. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. I mentioned the YouTube channel. Also, a new episode of Five Guys up there. That's something that I do twice a week with Alex Dono every Tuesday and Thursday. And we got into the Dolphins' expectations again today, what we wanted to see from them. So we got a lot of Dolphins content, as I mentioned. Of course, we got the podcast 3 Yards Per Carry and All Dolphins. We got coverage of the game up in Tampa this week. So if you just follow us for the Heat, but you're interested in the Dolphins this year, we're where you go. We have a group that's just as good as our group on the Heat side. But we're going to talk on the Heat side today about numbers 9 through 12. So if you've been following this at all, we are going from 1 to 40. We're not going from 40 down to 1, which is how ESPN rank and all the rest of them do it. We're going from 1 up to 40 because we knew what 1 was going to be. So there was no drama with it being Dwayne Wade. So, Greg, we've done this in two separate episodes. We've done it kind of the same way. We've aligned in both episodes, which I don't know will necessarily happen going forward, but we're trying to find some kind of consensus here. Correct. And so episode 1, our top 4, this is now for what they did with the Heat. That's the only rule here. There are no other rules, but it has to be what they did in their Heat careers. Number 1, Dwayne Wade. Number 2, LeBron James. Number 3, Jimmy Butler. Number 4, Alonzo Mourning. That was the tough decision between Butler and Mourning. We went back and forth and ultimately decided on Jimmy. 5 through 8. The tough decision there was really 5 or 6. We ended up putting Chris Bosh ahead of Shaquille O'Neal. So Bosh 5, Shaq 6, Tim Hardaway 7, and then another contemporary player, Bam Adebayo 8th. So now we're at 9. We're going to do 9 through 12 today. Sometimes we may do 8 in an episode. Today we're going to do 4. But I actually think there's a lot of good stuff to debate in this one. Okay? Do we have a consensus at number 9? Do you have a guy you're like, yes. It's okay, go ahead.
I mean, I think that we're going to be aligned here, but Goran Dragic gets the 9th spot for me. I mean, we were whispering his name in the last episode, and I talked about how had they, you know, won that championship, where he would be, and that I thought he kind of surpassed Timmy when they got to the finals in 2020. So for me, it's just let's move right on. Goran Dragic is number 9.
I don't think it's a given, but it is what I'm going to end up deciding on. So let me go through the process here a little bit, okay? And Goran, by the way, has his retirement game this week. We're hoping to actually get Goran on the podcast, if not before the retirement game, because it's a little close to time, but maybe to talk about it afterwards with us. We compared Goran's numbers to some of the other guys that we were comparing him with in kind of that 7-8 space, okay? I don't think either of us was considering him the top 6, but somewhere in that 7 to kind of 10 space. And it really came down to him or Hardaway, ultimately, for me. And then I felt like Bam deserved a top 8 spot. I think Bam, again, 7. This is a crazy number with Bam, okay? And you didn't expect this when I gave this to you before the podcast. Bam is now 5th in Heat history in games played. 5th.
Unbelievable.
And the top 5 are all Riley players, okay? So Dwayne, Udonis, Zoe, Mario Chalmers, Bam Adebayo. Then the next 5 are pre-Riley, or at least they started pre-Riley. Askins, Rice, Grant Long, Bimbo Coles, Ronnie Cicely. Okay. So I just felt if you look at Bam's body of work, the three final conference finals appearances, where he was one of the 2 most important players, finals appearance, another finals appearance. Everything we're talking about in terms of all defense. Now the 2. Now again, this is not while playing with the Heat, but he's part of the Heat organization. But obviously, the 2 gold medals, everything else. To me, I want to get Bam somewhere in the top 10. I think 8 is the right spot. When I look at Dragic here, to me, you're really talking about 3 different players we're comparing. Okay, because I think you and I are going to end up in the same spot, 9 through 11. You've got Dragic, who had this burst, right? Like he had, first thing, he was a part of like 3 different teams during a short period of time, 3 different types of teams. He was the engine on the team that went 30-11 in the second half of that season, him and Dion, 7-11, driving kick. Okay, that was after he was the starting point guard on a team that probably should have gone to the conference finals or to the finals, but they lost all their bigs. They had no Bosh, no Whiteside, but Dragic found a way to fit with Dwayne. It was clunky at first. Found a way to fit with Dwayne, and they were within a game of getting to the conference finals, and I still believe they would have pushed LeBron's Cleveland team that year if they had actually gotten there fully healthy. So there's that team. And then he was part of the Jimmy team and specifically what they did in the bubble. And I think for that alone, his adjustment to those different teams and finding a way to be effective in different ways. And then let's just, as much as we talk about Jimmy, and I say Bam was one of the 2 most important players, they don't get to the finals of the bubble without Goran Dragic. They don't get anywhere close.
So true.
Give them exactly what they've been looking for since. And unfortunately, age and the injury he suffered during that series and the fact that he came back to play, which he never should have, that cemented him. All the teeth on the floor cemented him. His relationship with Heat fans cemented him. I mean, they want him back now, okay? They want him back now. I mean, Goran's taking a year off, and then he actually wants to work in the Heat front office eventually. So you have him. Then you have Udonis, who I'm telling you right now is going to be in my top 10. Okay? Because he has to be.
100%.
Right. He has to be in the top 10 somewhere. And statistically, he belongs in the top 10. Okay. I understand that he played a lot less later on in his career. We get that. Although he made the most of those very few opportunities. First on the team all time in defensive rebounds. not by a small amount, by 850. Okay. 41.76. You know who's second in Heat history in defensive rebounds? Dwayne Wade.
30. Unreal.
Zoe is third, right behind Wade. Okay. Total rebounds, 57.91. Almost 800 ahead of Zoe and then Cycli and Dwayne. Offensive rebounds as part of this, 16.15. 150 more, 110, excuse me, more than Zoe. And again, I understand longevity. I get it. Zoe's career getting derailed. Everything else that happened. But again, these are the numbers that the guy produced in a Heat uniform. Points. Not Udonis' forte necessarily. Eighth all time among the Heat players. Behind Wade, Zoe, somebody else we're going to talk about, Glenn Rice, LeBron, Bam, Bosch, Cycli, and then Haslam, Dragic, Hardaway. So the numbers were there. The moments were there. What he did against Dirk in 2006. Being a starter on the 27-game winning streak. People forget that. That team took off with him starting and Spo settling on a regular rotation. The way that he took less money over and over, one time in particular, but a couple of different times, the way he stepped aside for Michael Beasley and handled that, which a lot of players wouldn't have handled until Spo realized, you know what, I really should go back to playing Udonis. But the single biggest thing and the reason he has to be in the top 10 for me is the relationships developed with players all throughout the eras, the legacy left. There's nobody who's come through that organization, whether they were Shaq and looked at Haslam as a little brother, or the latest rounds of undrafted. Okay, there's nobody who hasn't been touched by him in some way. He has to be in the top 10. And so I'm closing my top 10 with Dragic at 9 and Haslam at 10. And the reason for Dragic ahead of Haslam was there was more impact as a player overall, okay, during that short burst of time. But UD has to be in the top 10. So those are my 9 and 10.
And you made a compelling case to move UD up to 9, frankly, because like some of those, and I don't want to always agree with you, and I promise along this process we won't, but to your point, the longevity and the fact that he was part of all three championship teams was a rotational piece that Spo always trusted in all the biggest moments. Like, and then the stuff that you can't measure. Like, there's so much of that. Even late in his career, when people made fun of him taking up a roster spot, it actually takes a great deal of humility, in my opinion, to do what he did year over year and know you're not going to necessarily play and take on that role and do it like a professional. Like, that speaks volumes to who he is. Man, you're making me question if we really should have UD at top 5. No joking, but more like 9 and Goran at 10. But I'm with you in the top 10 is rounded out by UD and Goran. We can go either direction on how they're ranked.
All right. Well, maybe I think we stick out there right now with Goran, but I'll poll it and we can be overturned on a couple of these. But I think 9 and 10 is where the two of them belong, and then. It actually sets up some interesting debates here going forward. I wonder if Goran had not gotten hurt in that final, and what would have happened then in the next year. How long could Goran have played at a high level in short minutes off the bench? We'll never know. If they don't then flip him for Lowry, which again Jimmy signed off on. I mean, who knows what he ends up doing in a Heat uniform? And maybe he's even higher. Maybe he's higher than Tim. But for right now, I felt like it fits. Like, Tim is such a big part of it. I don't want to forget about those teams. I don't. Even though they kept running their headlong into the wall and the Knicks and everything else. Tim and Zoe made basketball matter. Yeah, they made basketball matter, okay? A lot of these other things that happened afterwards don't happen without some of the stuff that they did. But I do feel Goran deserves a top 10 spot. And I think part of it is the way that fans have reacted to him since he hasn't been with them. That speaks volumes to it. And I think it's a recognition of what kind of a player he was and what he provided for them, particularly in the bubble. All right, we're going to get to 11 and 12. And this is where it gets more difficult because we got a couple of players in here who actually were characterized largely as disappointments while they were with the Heat. But the numbers are good, and so we'll debate them. And then there's a guy that I know is close to Greg's heart that's probably going to slip in here into the top 12. All right, before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor of the 5 Reasons Sports Network, Water Cleanup of Florida. It's WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com. From the first leak all the way through the process, they will help you. They are your one-stop water and mold cleanup shop. Based at Boca Raton, Michael Robert and his team, they can service the entire Tri-County area. They actually work out in Fort Myers at times as well, all the way up to Orlando. So if you have an issue, reach out to them. They'll figure out a way to solve it. If they can't, they will let you know, which, again, is one of the things I appreciate about them and why we recommend them, because most contractors, to be honest, are not that honest. So check them out, Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. Big Udonis Haslam fans, I will say. They've got Udonis Haslam memorabilia all over their warehouse in Boca Raton. So big Heat fans, too. Again, if you got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
All right, so to me, it gets hard because there's two different kinds of players we're looking at here. Okay. It was actually three. The Heat had a certain prototype for a while. They've had certain prototypes over the years. All right. One of their prototypes, which Udonis Haslam is part of, at least until the Spoelstra era, when now it's become a bunch of small guys, and we'll see with Jovic if it becomes something different, Jovic and where. But typically, you know, the Heat have had this sort of, it started with Grant Long. And then it became PJ Brown and then Udonis Haslam, PJ Brown, Brian Grant, and Brian and Udonis Haslam, which is like the dirty work four. Again, sorry, Sean, but that's the position. Okay. And it's the dirty work for the guy who everybody, you know, Eric Reed appreciated, right? Above all else. Okay. That you would hear about in broadcast and all the stuff that they were doing. And they've been blessed in that way. Again, until recently, they had PJ Tucker for a year who kind of fit in that exactly. mold, right? Right. But they're all a little different. Grant Long, I think, gets lost to Heat. We'll talk about Grant Long before the end of the top 40 here. But I think he gets lost in Heat history a little bit because he's pre-Riley. But he was kind of Udonis before Udonis. Again, you look at the numbers, the impact, various things he did, his story. This was a guy who was not the Heat's highest pick in that draft, and yet he stuck. He's kind of been a voice for the organization since. He's actually gotten into broadcasting. I think he was at OKC recently. But he was kind of the first. PJ Brown, like, he was critical to those teams. And again, they didn't accomplish what they set out to accomplish. But PJ was the guy who allowed Zoe to roam. He allowed Zoe to be Zoe defensively because PJ was such a difficult defender to deal with. Pat wouldn't trade him for years. And then he started to look at, like, guys the Clippers ended up drafting, like Darius Miles and Lamar Odom, et cetera. But it was always like, will you finally move PJ? And then he ultimately did with Mashburn, somebody else we're going to talk about, to get Eddie Jones, Brian Grant, and Anthony Mason in one summer. A lot of these guys are going to fall into this mix here. PJ, I will say, was my personal favorite, just as a human being, like probably my favorite player in my first few years of covering the team that I ever covered. Just a quality person. Very low key, took losses really hard. I remember walking into that locker room after one of the losses to the Knicks. It might have been the last one. And PJ could not look up. He could not look up. He poured everything into it. He's going to be in my top 15 somewhere. Okay. I'm just telling you. But again, I'm trying to put these into some categories. All right. So you've got that type, which is Grant Long, UD, PJ Brown, Brian Grant. Okay. And Brian's a complicated one. Because Brian is one of the most selfless players in Heat history. Brian was willing to sign for the mid-level. And it was the Heat that basically surprised him by saying he was ready to sign. Like, we've had him on the podcast. He talked about it. Pat sold him. He's like, just get me to Miami. This is when everybody wanted to play in Miami. Okay? He'd heard about the workouts, all that sort of stuff. He wanted to be down here. And then he ended up getting a... Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out
Five Floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
7 year, I believe it was 7 year, $86 million contract. Same as Eddie. And it was this package deal, Chris Gatling, all these other pieces kind of went to various places. Cleveland was involved. I will say that's the first major trade I ever broke, because I had that one first. And I was excited about Brian coming down, because everything I'd heard about the charity work he did, and he is a wonderful human being. I love Brian Grant. And Pat loved Brian Grant. But Brian never really got to do what he was supposed to do down here. Like, he was enormously skilled. Remember in Portland, he was kind of behind, you know, they had Jermaine O'Neal, Rasheed Wallace. They had all these bigs in Portland, and Brian did his thing. But then by the time he came down, his knees started to go a little bit. And you want to talk about a player. We talk about Bam being put upon. Brian Grant was put upon. Like, Brian, because when Zoe got sick,
he had to play center.
He played center. He was an undersized center. In those days, he was a really undersized center, and his knees were not what they were before. He used to be an explosive player, but he was supposed to come down and play as Zoe's complement. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he had to be the big. And then again, then they made this transition to a Dwayne team, and Brian was really the big on that team. Like, that team that everybody loves that started 0-7 and ended up 42-40 with Karan and Eddie and Dwayne's rookie season, and Rafer Alston and that crew. They had Udonis, right, as a rookie, but Brian was a starter, and Brian played the bulk of those minutes. And, of course, Brian was sacrificed ultimately to get Shaq, or his contract was. So I'm looking at those guys, and I'll just start here before we start to – because we're grouping players here a little bit. We put Udonis ahead of Brian Grant or P.J. Brown, even though I'm not necessarily sure that, like, Udonis was necessarily a better NBA player than Brian Grant.
No.
When healthy.
Yeah, I think Brian Grant had a higher ceiling than he or PJ Brown. Like, you know,
agreed.
Ultimately, he was going to be an upgraded version of what PJ brought, a more talented version next to Zoe. We never got to see that, but that was kind of the thought behind him. And he had just moments. I remember him, I think it was against the Utah Jazz, having a huge mm-hmm. playoff series when he was with Portland. So there was that higher ceiling with Brian Grant for sure.
Does it surprise you to know that PJ only played four seasons for the Heat? It felt like it was forever. It just felt like he was such a fixture with it. Right? And so that's part of it in the Charlie Ward thing. Well, let me give you some numbers on these guys, because, again, we got to group these somewhat to be able to decide, you know, who we should pick, okay? So I'm looking at Brian Grant's numbers. This is PJ. PJ played four seasons in Miami, okay? And I'm looking at his overall. Let me find his overall here as we compare here. So four seasons in Miami, averaged 10 points, 8 rebounds, shot 47% from the floor, and he was not a three-point shooter. Actually, PJ had range. I think these days they might have extended it, but in those days you wouldn't. Okay, so four seasons for him. Brian Grant, let me look at Brian. And I know there's somebody else we want to get to here, so we will, who's kind of out of the norm of some of these guys. But I want to at least group these. So Brian, in his seasons in Miami, he actually played four seasons in Miami as well. He averaged 11 points, 8.5 rebounds, 1 assist, shot 40% from the field. So his numbers were actually pretty similar to PJ's in four seasons. I'm going to get to both of those guys. I don't think – for neither of them would they be 11 for you, right?
Hell no.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Now let's get to these other two guys, and then we'll get to the pre-Riley guy who I know you want to talk about. Who do you think had a better Heat run, Eddie Jones or Jamal Mashburn?
Ultimately, I think you would have to say – that's tough, man. That's really tough. I'm gonna actually go Mash, but
okay,
just by a little.
Let me give you some numbers, okay? And look, these are players to directly compare to each other for a variety of reasons. One is they were both brought in to be the third option for the Heat. Mm-hmm. Okay, they both had reputations as Eddie was kind of the third guy with the Lakers at one point. He's as high as the second guy. Jamal was supposed to be, I guess, the second guy probably in Dallas, but the whole Triple J thing didn't work out because there was a fight over Tony Braxton and a whole bunch of other things related to that and a lot of stuff that went on behind the scenes. But the Jason Kidd, Jimmy Jackson, look it up, kids. Jason Kidd, Jamal Mashburn, Jimmy Jackson thing didn't end up working out. Okay, so he got traded over. But they were both brought in to be the third option, and then ultimately they were traded for each other.
And Eddie had to actually be the number one option for a few years there.
Well, that was right. That wasn't planned, right? But they also – here's the other part. They both had reputations of shrinking in the playoffs.
Correct.
And that played out for both of them. And they're kind of – I got to know both of them. And there's a lot of similarities in their personalities, okay? They did not – neither of them kind of had – and I know Alex is going to get on me – didn't have that alpha thing, really. For Mash, I think it was honestly that – he had so many other interests that were positive, and he has killed it after basketball. The man owns like hundreds of franchises and all the rest of it. He used to carry a briefcase to practice. Like, he loved basketball, but it wasn't the end all. For Eddie, I think he liked basketball more, but I think some of those moments got to him in a way. And they're kind of there for both of them. With Jamal, there was one playoff series against the Knicks where he was just awful. I think mm-hmm. he averaged like 7 points. I can't – there might have been two of those series, Greg, because I can't remember which one it was.
The Knicks series were not great for his legacy at all, for sure.
No. And look, the last year, actually, before the trade, they relied on him a lot during the regular season.
And in the first round against Detroit, because Timmy basically sat and Mashburn like ran the offense and he looked awesome. Like he looked awesome. Like he was turning the corner.
And then he got to the Knicks series. Yeah. And then of course there's the shot he didn't take. And you're right. Well, not only did Timmy sat all three games, Anthony Carter started. And so Jamal kind of became that option. There was always this unease between Jamal and Zoe, and also between Jamal and Tim. The Tim stuff got out more public. But it never felt like, and Tim and Zoe were different too. I mean, it was more fire and ice type of thing with the two of them. But Jamal never seemed to really fit personality wise with the two of them. And I can tell you, cause I was around those teams a lot. And Eddie, there was always this weird thing with Shaq that followed from LA. And yeah. I remember us writing a lot about it at the time. Eddie embraced Dwayne from the very beginning. He said, this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer, like from the very first training camp. But there was always this unease. So again, there are a lot of similarities between the two. But let me give you the numbers, okay? So Jamal played four seasons in Miami. He averaged 16 points. And again, this was, remember, they were scoring about 95 points at that point. So we got to take that into consideration. 16 points. 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 43% from the field, 37% from three. I again, in this era, MASH would have been an ideal stretch four. Ideal. Oh, yeah. Perfect. But Handel could play. And there's another guy we're going to talk about a little bit, but it's hard to put him up this high, but he's in the MASH burn category, which is Lamar Odom, which Pat did a lot of things with Lamar. Well, Pat did a lot. Not Pat, but it was Stan, the coach, but Cat brought in Lamar to do a lot of the things that kind of MASH did a little of, but MASH would have done a lot more of if he played in a slightly later era. There's also the fact that Mashburn came back to torch the Heat and Eddie Jones after his trades. I don't know if we want to take that into consideration or not because it's not in a Heat uniform. But let me – I gave you MASH's numbers, okay? So, again, four seasons, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 43% from the field. All right, Eddie – 6 seasons in Miami, but it's a little unfair because he came back in 2006, 2007. Nobody really remembers. Mm-hmm. Played 35 games, but wasn't the same player. He was age 35 at that point. But 6 seasons, averaged 16 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 43% from the field, 38% from 3. So Eddie's numbers are slightly better, but again, a little later era, a little more pace.
And not as much winning. Even if it was regular season winning.
Correct.
You know, you mentioned Lamar Odom. It's crazy to think about it, but his 1 year in Miami, that and Anthony Mason in his all-star 1 year, those are going to be weird outliers that we weave into this ranking. But we haven't got to him yet. Mm-hmm. There's the guy who comes next. If I have to like pull a card here to get him in this spot, it's Glenn Rice.
Pull your card. Yes, I agree. You don't have to pull the card. So seventh in games, 478 games. In points, third. 9,248 points. So it's Dwayne. This is one of the craziest stats. Dwayne Wade in a Heat uniform scored 21,556 points. Nobody else has scored 10,000.
That's crazy.
Zoe is second at 9,459, and Rice is third at 9,248. And then you've got LeBron and Bam. I feel better and better about
records.
Right? Like, I feel better about putting Bam in the eighth spot there. Because he's creeping into the top five in a lot of these categories right now. I'm with you on Rice. I think we need some representation for the pre-Riley era. Basketball did exist. And Glenn lived up to the draft pick. I mean, he did. It's just that Pat identified him as the one piece he could move for the piece that at that time everybody needed, which was the centerpiece five.
I told you I cried when that trade happened, right? I was that Glenn Rice got traded from the Heat because I thought Riley was going to do things with Glenn Rice and they were going to go to the playoffs and all that. And then he flipped him for Zoe, who had this big scowl on his face the whole time. And I just – because Glenn Rice was also really cool with the fans. He would stop every single game, sign autographs right behind Miami Arena. He would stop his car, super gracious. So I was heartbroken. But then, you know, it's in Riley we trust, we see. But Glenn Rice also with the 56-point game, that was the franchise record for a really long time. It was against Orlando. And I just feel like he was their first player that was ascending to be an all-star that was kind of, you know, their draft pick and a homegrown talent to some degree.
Yeah, no doubt. And he's come back to the organization. He was at Camp Tony's, Fiorentina running the Heat camps. And my daughter has a signed ball from Glenn Rice from those camps here. So he's still around the organization. I think he's 11. I do. I think that It's unfortunate he didn't get the playoff opportunities with Miami. He actually blew up more as a player after he left Miami. His best statistical years were in Charlotte. The championship was with the Lakers, even though that year with the Lakers was rocky. I covered that finals, and there was a lot of stuff there. Glenn's other half at the time was not a fan of Phil Jackson and made that very public. So that was a fun thing to cover. And actually, they ended up trading Glenn, and they got a bunch of pieces, including kind of a past his prime Horace Grant, and they won a championship the next year. So Glenn had trouble fitting into that third. We always talk about that. Being that third guy is not easy. Tyler's been dealing with it the past couple of years. It wasn't easy for Bosch. It wasn't easy for Love in Cleveland. It wasn't easy for Jamal or Eddie with Miami. But for what Glenn Rice did in Miami, I have him 11th. So this makes this – now we get to the hard one because I've already introduced all the players that I'm considering.
You wouldn't consider Tyler? One not finals a, appearance. Look not at his numbers. No.
He's gonna make my top 20, so I'll just give that away. Okay. And so again, you're looking at now he's been five seasons, right? He's played five seasons. 19 was his rookie season.
Yeah,
you want me to look at the stats? I'll compare him to these guys. But again, we're in a different era, and I think we got to account for that when we look at some of the numbers here. Because, I mean, how many would Glenn Rice have scored in this era? He averaged 24 when he was with the Heat, probably even at that stage of his career. I think so. All right, so Tyler's average. I mean, statistically, five seasons. I mean, it's kind of four seasons when you really look at all the injuries. So he's played 284 games. So if that was four seasons, he would average 71 games a season. Now, again, there were couple shortened seasons in there, but he's played five, but he's really more like played four. Average 18 points, five rebounds, four assists. I mean, on paper, it's better than Eddie's numbers, I guess. But again, we're talking about a different era. Third option, finals appearance. Eddie, no finals appearance. Eddie may be the reason they didn't have a finals appearance in 2005 because when Dwayne got hurt in Detroit and they needed Eddie to come through in game six, he bleeped the bed. Blown out. They had trouble getting to 70 in that game and then came back. And then because Stan didn't trust Eddie at that point, shouldn't have been playing. And he kept going to Dwayne late in that game. That pissed Shaq off too. So, that's a strike against Eddie. The Mashburn playoff appearances or playoff performances strike against Mash, but again, the same criticism has been made of Tyler.
It's true.
Right?
I don't know. At this point, this gets difficult.
Would you consider PJ or Brian Grant? Would you consider that archetype here?
No. Okay. I think that they're further down the list. I just think that they're they weren't high enough in the pecking order to be this high on the list. I'm looking for players that were, we talk about them being, the third guy, but Eddie, like I said earlier, there were a lot of seasons where he was the first guy. So actually that's probably the way that I lean here is Eddie Jones, because there's also a part of me that remembers when they made the trade and we thought it was going to be Timmy, Eddie, Brian Grant, Anthony Mason, Alonzo Mourning. Like that team was supposed to be the first, I'm not going to call it super contender, but in Heat world, it was like you thought that it was
a really well constructed. It was a really well constructed team. It really was
Then you never saw it happen. And Eddie kind of got flagged as a player who didn't live up to expectations. And I don't think that was really fair on him the whole way here, because he came to kind of be the third guy, maybe the second guy as Tim kind of took a back seat. I don't know. I'm thinking Eddie, because also Eddie got to experience that era as well as some time with Dwayne and
that's my tiebreaker over Mash. And again, I know we're all over the place with what we're coming up with tiebreakers, but some of these decisions are really hard. The way that Eddie embraced Dwayne that rookie year, if we're talking about the best player in franchise history, the most important player in franchise history, and you have somebody who helped catalyze him, stepped out of the way. Eddie was an established, highly paid guy at that point. He recognized him. Same position. He's like, this guy's better than me. I mean, he simply would say that. Like, this guy's better than me. And I always gave him credit for that because, again, without Dwayne becoming Dwayne and all the little things that led to it along the way, then none of these other guys, a lot of these other guys we've talked about never end up in Miami. A lot of the success doesn't end up happening. I would think about Brian Grant here. I would. I would also think about PJ here. PJ versus Mash is a tough decision for me, by the way, which I feel like they're both going to hit in our next episode. But like, that's a tough call for me because Mash was the higher upside player, but PJ was kind of irreplaceable for those teams and more reliable. And so I just, that's going to be a tough call for me. But I also group Eddie and Brian Grant together a little bit because they came in the same year on those big contracts. And I know some will make the case for Brian over Eddie. I'm with you in the fact that Eddie had to suffer through a couple of bad years where he was leaned on quite a bit in a role that he really wasn't supposed to be in. Didn't really complain about it. It wasn't really suited for him. And then it is the transition to the Dwayne, the 2 years with Dwayne, where you know I think he deserves credit for those. But these are not easy decisions. I will lean with you this time because I was thinking Mash. But I will go with you with Eddie Jones. So we are going 9, Dragic, 10, Haslam, 11, Rice, 12, Eddie Jones. We still haven't gotten to Whiteside. We still haven't gotten to a bunch of role players.
You won't off make top me of your choose, head. Hassan. You won't. You can't make me.
He's in there somewhere. Bunch of role players here. So I'll just ask you this. We'll leave this with the listeners and viewers as well as we go. Don't answer. Udonis Haslam is the best role player in Heat history, right? I mean, we just named him that, right? We have him at 9.
100%. There's no question.
Okay. Who's the second?
He may be coming on our next episode.
I think he might be. There's a few of these. There's one who contributed greatly to the two of the big three championships because his signing kind of plugged a lot of the holes. There's another guy who contributed greatly to the 2006 championship, who I know is another favorite of yours, who came as part of all those trades over the 2005 offseason. And then we've got some guys who were Hall of Famers whose best work didn't necessarily come in Miami, but one of them hit the biggest shot in franchise history. I'm sure we'll probably get to him before too long as well. But there have been people angry at us for saying, why wouldn't you pick Ray Allen over Eddie Jones? It's just it's length of time, I think, and body of work, but I understand that people don't want to necessarily agree with us. Anyway, check it out. Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. I'd like you bringing Tyler into this episode because that'll get people thinking here a little bit. And also, Better Edge, use code 5RSN.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.